Good weekend to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. Of all the human emotions we experience, where do you rank jealousy in terms of potential damage to relationships, families, and even your personal soul? Yesterday, we left our friend Jacob living the early years of his very complicated adult life, married to two sisters. We saw how the deceitfulness and dysfunction of his childhood family was now casting a shadow over and breeding discord in his adult families. Yes, I said families, because Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rachel. Leah had been given to him deceitfully by her father Laban after 7 long years of work as the dowry price Jacob had agreed to pay. But Jacob was paying that price for the woman he loved, Rachel. And yet, on the wedding day, Laban dressed his daughter Leah in wedding clothes and veil, so Jacob did not discover the deception until the morning after their wedding night together. Can you imagine? Laban's explanation to Jacob was that culturally, in that region of the world, it was the custom to marry off the daughters chronologically, eldest to youngest. And if Jacob wanted Rachel, it would require another 7 years of work. Jacob was experiencing the bitter taste of his own medicine of deception, which he had spewed out on his childhood family too many times, deeply hurting his father, mother, and brother. Jacob was in love and was willing to pay any price for Rachel, so he agreed, and was the husband of two sisters. Can you imagine the jealousy in that family? Soon, Leah began having babies, 4 sons, in fact, and we presume they are what we sometimes call stair-step children, probably each one being born a little more than 1 year after the other. We can only imagine what life was like for Jacob, working hard during the day out in the hot sun as a shepherd of sheep and goats, then coming home to 2 wives and 4 kids, 4 and under. Oh, and did I say they were boys, each of them all boy. Probably the only place Jacob had some peace and quiet was out with the sheep. Genesis 30 is a remarkable and very significant chapter in the Bible. Sadly, it begins with an argument between Rachel and Jacob. The record says, when Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister Leah. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I will die." Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children?" So Rachel then said, "Here is my maidservant, Bilhah. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and through her I too can build a family." So she gave him her servant, Bilhah, as a wife. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Then Rachel said, "God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son." Because of this, she named him Dan. That's Genesis 30, verse 1 to 6. It doesn't take much imagination to walk around Jacob's family compound, watching and listening to the mayhem, does it? Probably there are several tents now, for Leah has 4 sons, and Rachel has a son, but through her maidservant Bilhah, who, of course, would have nursed the baby for his first few years. It's getting crowded around here, isn't it? And worse than all the noise of so many kids is the arguing and jealousy of the adults. My, oh my, can you hear it? Can you see the little ones all around? Can you imagine the late-night conversations between Jacob and his wives as he probably alternates sleeping every other night with each of them in their tent with their children? There's a constant question Jacob is hearing. "Jacob, my husband, do you love me? Do you love me more than her? Do you love the sons I have borne to you? Do you love them more than hers?" But friends, this mess is far from over. In fact, the mayhem has only begun for Jacob. The record continues, Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived a second time and bore Jacob another son. Then Rachel said, "I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won." So she named him Naphtali. If you're keeping score, that's now 4 sons for Leah and 2 sons for Rachel through Bilhah, her maidservant. Now, do you remember what happened to Jacob's grandfather Abraham when he had a similar problem? His beloved Sarah was also barren, and after many, many years, Sarah offered her maidservant Hagar to Abraham to start building a family through her. Oh my, the problems that came from that. I have to believe Jacob had told that story more than once to both his wives, the sisters, Leah and Rachel, And as he walks among his sheep out in the pasture, can't you just hear Jacob talking with God? Well, God, I'm caught in the middle of what appears to be spouse competition and deep jealousy. And it's made more complicated by the fact that Rachel is using her maidservant Bilhah as her surrogate mother. So now I actually have 3 wives and 6 sons. Lord, I knew my childhood family was a crazy mess of jealousy and competition, but it seems to me that was nothing compared to what I am experiencing here. What should I do about this? How can I bring peace into my families? And how am I going to provide for all these children? God, I need your help. So, my friends, what advice would you have for Mr. Jacob? How would you counsel the sister wives and Bilhah as they compete for Jacob's love and nurse and raise 6 little boys? I imagine some of the jealousy attitudes of the women are starting to be understood and owned by their sons, don't you? So how does that play out as these stepbrothers are running around and playing and fighting as little boys do? The record continues, when Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she gave her maidservant Zilpah to Jacob as his wife. Leah's servant Zilpah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "What good fortune!" So she named him Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah then bore Jacob a 2nd son. Then Leah said, "How happy I am," and named him Asher. I wonder, my friends, if you think this is getting a little bit out of control. As you walk around Jacob's tent compound, we now have at least 4 family tents, as well as food storage tents, cooking tents, etc. We know each mother nurses her own babies until they are weaned, so that is probably age 3 or 4 at least. I admit, I don't know how Jacob is sharing his time with all these tents, especially his night times. I don't know if they sometimes have common meals where they all eat together, but can you imagine the parenting challenges facing these women, and especially the husband and dad challenges facing Jacob? I have to believe there's lots of scorekeeping going on here as the competitiveness and jealousy runs rampant in Jacob's growing family. In case you've lost track, the score is now Leah has 4 sons, Rachel has 2 sons by Bilhah, and Leah has 2 more sons by Zilpah, so that's 8 sons in all. And the record continues. Yes, it really does. Leah, Jacob's 1st wife, gets pregnant and bears Jacob her 5th son, naming him Issachar. Then, about a year later, Leah conceives again and bears Jacob her 6th son, naming him Zebulun. And finally, sometimes later, Leah bore a daughter that she named Dinah. Now, if you're a woman who grew up in a family of boys, perhaps you have a little idea of what life would be like for Dinah. But friends, do you even have enough energy yet for 1 more baby? The record says, then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and opened her womb, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And she said, God has taken away my disgrace, and she named him Joseph. So let's just stand here in the middle of Jacob's tents for a few closing minutes and watch this remarkable family scene. Little children running around and babies being nursed by their mothers under the shade of their tents. Baby Joseph is over there in Rachel's arms suckling. Baby Dinah is in Leah's arm over there by that tent suckling. Little Zebulun and Issachar are playing as infant boys do, probably 3 and 4 years old respectively. Asher and Gad are perhaps 5 and 6 years old over there playing together. Now, shepherds, as you know, took their sons out among the sheep early in life, teaching them and soon entrusting them with small flocks of their own. It was a very powerful father-son bonding and teaching time, so let's go out among the flocks and watch. There, over there, do you see Jacob with his sons Naphtali and Dan? They are brothers, both sons of Rachel's maidservant Bilhah, and probably about 7 and 8 years old. If we ask Jacob about his other sons, he'll shade his eyes from the sun and point out to the groups of sheep and goats and say, "Over there, that looks like my son Judah. Let me think now, he's about 9 years old. And over there, that one with the lamb over his shoulder, that's Levi. I think he's about 10 years old now, and he's got a real tender heart. He always has a lamb over his shoulder. Let's see, that one way over there, with his staff raised up, that's Simeon. He likes to talk to his sheep, and I think he's about 11 now. And let's see, there should be one more. Oh yes, over there. That's Reuben, my firstborn. He's the best young shepherd of all my boys. Let's see, he's 12 now, and his brothers all look up to him. Yes, I am a blessed man. 6 sons out here with me, learning to be shepherds, and there's 5 more at home with the women, and 1 little daughter. Have you met her yet? I'm both a blessed and a weary man. Now ponder the scene, my friends. In the dream back at Bethel nearly 20 years ago, God had promised Jacob that despite the fact that he was a liar, a cheat, and a thief, God wanted to include him in the great covenant promise and plan God had given to Abraham so many years ago. God had said, I will give you the land on which you're lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you'll spread out to the west and east, north and south, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. That was Genesis 28:14. I'm confident Jacob thought often about that dream, and as we stand out here among the sheep with him today, we can see the beginning of God's promises right before our eyes. 6 sons out here, and 5 more back with their mothers. 11 sons at all at this time, and from them, only God knows how many there could eventually be and how far and wide they could spread out all across the earth. As we stand here with Jacob and his sheep and his sons, think about your heritage, my friends, wherever you live in our world. How would you describe your family, as far back as you know them, and as many descendants as you have? What words, what phrases describe the journey, the values, the reputations of your family? How do you see the hand of God involved in the story of your family? Oh, there is much ahead for us with Jacob's family, but I urge us to take some time now thinking about and praying for every member of your extended family, wherever they are in the world. What might God be doing in their lives today?